We have often said, you know, some of the challenges that we have seen through COVID-19, it's always been, I think the thing that strikes me is how we're navigating all of the various systems that we're now facing. You know, you talk to anybody who has had to apply for government assistance and working through CRA for CERB and everything else, and that it's not that the money's not there, it's not that the program's not there, it's who do you call and how do you navigate it and how do you make sure it's done effectively and efficiently? And so there's so many levels like that. I know some of you are going through that with how do you navigate homeschooling. And for many of you, the healthcare system has become that, you know, mystery, this curiosity, this monstrous trying to navigate through and find out how do I get the services that I need. During COVID particularly is a bit of a challenge. And we hear that in long-term care particularly, in mental health specifically. That has come up quite often. So I didn't realize this, but there are people out there who are, that's what they do. That's what they're all about, helping you navigate the system. Angela Johnson is the founder and the president of Medical Confidence, joins us this morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, Dave. How are you?
And how's business?
Well, we're busy, for sure. COVID has, as you said, made things more challenging for individuals. It was already difficult, but with shutdowns and increasing in mental illness incidences, it's busy. But that's a good thing because we're able to help with their outcomes and get them to what they need.
Yeah, and it strikes me, it just surprised me that you've been, this business has been around for, 12 years or so. So, you know, at some point, there was always that worry. What's your capacity like? I mean, I realize that, there's a lot of business to be done, but are you able to handle it?
Yeah, so for sure, that's a great question. So we have been around for 12 years. We mainly have been very focused in supporting employees because it's included in their health benefits plan. Mm-hmm. And so, we're helping thousands and thousands of Canadians every day through their employee benefits. The key to scaling is making sure that you have the infrastructure and the processes and the systems to make it efficient versus just plunking someone down in front of a computer and saying, okay, you're going to guide patients and you'll just search the web and try to find, what resources this individual needs. So you need to equip the navigators who are typically nurses and then, give them the proper training and make sure that they've got those tools. So then it's far more efficient and streamlined for everyone.
I was talking to somebody yesterday. We were producing another podcast, and it's on mental health particularly, but this case was focusing on the long-term care facilities, particularly in Ontario. And, to say we needed to focus on the families and the residents in the homes is one thing, but the stress on the staff is exponential now, considering what they're going through at COVID. And to your point, it was made that you can't just give somebody a list of links and that's going to be support or hope that they're going to be able to know what link to click in the right order. So, what's the number one thing that you guys would be seeing in terms of that point of contact with somebody that needs help first? But what would be that number one sort of conversation opener? Is it hopelessness or are they looking for something fairly specific typically?
Well, the thing about mental illness is that the disease or the condition itself prohibits self-care.
Right.
So, struggling just to get out of bed for someone who is depressed, clinically depressed, asking them to figure out what they need and then go get it is just an insurmountable mountain to ask them to climb. So what we see is first, it's recognizing you have a challenge. So, if you think about how I'm feeling versus how I used to feel, and you get the support you need early on before it becomes to the point where you're struggling to get out of bed, then it's easier. It's much easier. So everyone comes at it at a different point. in where they're at in their condition and their state of mental health. But it normally just starts with a phone call and a conversation about, well, okay, let's talk about where you're at today and what you need, what your needs are. Where have you been to in the system? So learning what doesn't work and so that we can overcome those. But it's understanding your needs, not just from a clinical standpoint, but your general overall health and wellness. So are you sleeping properly? Are you eating efficiently? Are you getting good exercise, raising your heart rate, and getting good social activity, which is hard during COVID? But there are ways around that. And just doing it on your own can be excessively hard to do.
Wow, it just sounds like you're offering it a lot more than navigating the system. This becomes a counseling service.
Yeah, think of it as your personal coach and guide through your health experience and personalizing it to what you need versus just a general math solution.
So you mentioned that a lot of the people that would come to you would do so through their company plans, their benefit plans. How many are actually aware that this is part of their plan? Because I could see that, you know, there'll be a lot of stuff that might be buried in the fine print and you might be it.
You're absolutely right about that. The majority of people don't actually leverage their full benefit capability. We see that we're part of a bigger organization called CloudMD, and it is the third largest employee assistance benefits program. And, you know, just people don't leverage what they have access to. So it's important to, you know, dig into it, see what's available to you, and I think you'd be surprised what's there. But
yeah, I would think that would be good advice for somebody in your life who might be struggling, is to suggest, I might not be able to help you, but you may want to look into the plans that you've got at work, because there's likely going to be something that, and my own anecdotal experience over the last 8 months, and we've been doing this podcast around mental health, has been that lots of people, particularly students on campus, they similarly, where they might not have a benefit plan at work, they've got a benefit plan on campus, and again, don't know the full benefits of it and the depth and the range of services that they can get.
Right, absolutely. But where I really like to take the conversation is, you know, how can we make this accessible to all Canadians, not just mm-hmm. those that are fortunate enough to be in school and have access to the plan or be an employee and have it in their benefits, but that every Canadian, and which we know now with COVID, we see more unemployment, we see a lot of, you know, a lot of families that could really use this support, and it's just not there. So I would like to, you know, switch the conversation to implementing solutions in the healthcare system to help all of those individuals as well.
Well, it's at the end of the day, it becomes a more efficient way of using our healthcare services.
For sure. So we know that, you know, studies have said that it's 560% more expensive to treat an individual who is dealing with mental illness than it is a cancer patient. And we know
wow.
that it's clinically successful in oncology navigation. So it's prolific across Canada that if you're going to a hospital that offers cancer treatment, you have access to a patient navigator through the public healthcare system. Yet we don't see that for all those other illnesses. And so when you see something that's proven, you know, so patient navigation for cancer patients took mortality rates from 39% to 70%. If we see those results, why aren't we implementing it across the board for all patients?
Sorry, repeat the percentage. What did you say the difference was between cancer and mental health?
So the cost to treat a patient who is dealing with mental illness versus a cancer patient is 560% more for the mental illness patient.
Holy cow.
Very
wow.
expensive. So the cost savings are in the system. We just need to implement it. We need to get it in the hands of those hospitals offering those services so that when a patient arrives, they're getting the proper support. And the cost savings will come. We know
well,
that. We've seen it.
Well, I'm glad we started the conversation here this morning. I know it's been going for a while. We might bug you again as we continue to press through COVID-19. And I know these conversations are being had at a policy level, too. So, Angela, thanks for joining us this morning.
Great. Great to see you or hear speak with you again. Bye.
Angela Johnson is the founder and president of Medical Confidence.
Wow.
I had no idea that there would be that kind of discrepancy in terms of the cost of treating a cancer patient versus someone being treated for mental health. But if you're in there, you probably know that.